The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Review Radio, part of your SB Nation family podcast. We're coming to you on Wednesday, August 3rd, as your New York Giants continue training camp to get ready for the 2022 NFL season. A couple of things to talk about today, but I want to let you guys know right up front that we have something a little bit special for you today. Had a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with Giants rookie second-round pick Wandale Robinson. Had that conversation on Tuesday via phone, a day when I wasn't in East Rutherford, New Jersey, but the Giants were kind enough to get Wandale on the phone with me for a few minutes, and I'll be playing that conversation for you here shortly. Just wanted to touch on a couple of training camp-related things first. We got news on Monday that safety Dane Belton, rookie fourth-round pick out of Iowa, had suffered a broken collarbone and will be out roughly 2 months, somewhere into the beginning of the season, maybe a quarter of the season, maybe a half of the season. Coach Brian Daboll said no surgery will be necessary for Belton, which is good news. But the bad news is no more training camp for Belton, and he'll miss at least probably the first quarter of the season. Belton had been getting increasing first-team reps with the Giants defense, particularly in some sub-packages where Wink Martindale, Giants defensive coordinator, had aligned the Giants with three safeties on the field. Belton, of course, joining starters Xavier McKinney and Julian Love in those packages. But until Belton is able to return, perhaps Andrew Adams, former Giant who was picked up just before the start of training camp, will play a bigger role for the Giants over the next couple months. Giants also made a roster move, waiving injured young defensive back Jaron Williams and adding veteran safety Jerrod Wilson in an effort to add some depth there as well. The other thing I wanted to mention, or a couple of more things to mention, Monday was the first Giants practice. First time we've seen the Giants go real heavy into the run game. There was some good, some bad. Saquon Barkley looked pretty good, you know, on some occasions. Brian Daboll said that he looked explosive when he was asked about Barkley on Tuesday morning. And, you know, that obviously is a good sign. Barkley now a year removed, you know, from the ACL surgery, or a full season removed, more than a year removed from the actual surgery. Should be more like himself, you know, provided that he stays healthy throughout the rest of training camp. But the couple notes on Monday's practice. As I said, a lot of run game, a lot of physical stuff. We saw one-on-one play with offensive line versus defensive line for the first time. Few rough reps on Monday for rookie right tackle Evan Neal. A few good reps on the flip side of that for O'Shane Zimenez, edge defender, who's trying to keep a spot on the 53-man roster. Kayvon Thibodeau and Andrew Thomas had a good battle throughout the day. A lot of good reps for Thomas, but one rep in 11-on-11 action where Thibodeau was able to turn the corner and flush Daniel Jones out of the pocket. A good sign for the Giants on Tuesday when yours truly was not in East Rutherford to witness practice. But by all accounts, this was the best that Daniel Jones has looked in any of the six training camp practices to date. A lot of good throws, although Jones did throw two interceptions to Adoree Jackson. Most of the observers who have tweeted or commented or written about it thought that Jones threw the ball better on Tuesday than he had at any point in training camp, and that's a good sign. You know, I said the other day on a show with Patty Trena of Locked On Giants that the offense and the passing game simply hadn't looked crisp. And, you know, what I want to caution everyone is try not to ride the roller coaster of, you know, every day a guy is great or every day a guy is terrible. And to, as Brian Daboll would say, be an instant evaluator, you know, based on the very last thing that you saw. You know, training camp is a time when not everything is as it seems. Everything is done in situations. Everything is done in a controlled environment. Everything is done for a specific reason. Sometimes even balls that are thrown that you think probably shouldn't be thrown are sometimes thrown because the coach wants them thrown to see how players will react to them. Sometimes quarterbacks are throwing balls into tight windows simply to see if they can get the ball in there, or simply to see if they can trust their wide receiver to fight for that ball, to go and make that play to make sure it doesn't turn into an interception. So many, many times, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention is because quarterbacks are in red jerseys, oftentimes these plays get extended, you know, beyond a point where the quarterback would have normally gotten rid of the ball, or where he might have been sacked or flushed out of the pocket. So sometimes, you know, things are not exactly as they seem, or as whatever statistics you might read about, you know, Daniel Jones completed, you know, this many out of that many passes on a given day. Things are not always exactly as they seem when it comes to training camp stats, training camp practices, to exactly what transpires on the field, because we don't know what coaches have told players. We don't know exactly what they're being asked to do. And as I said, the situations, you know, the situations are controlled, and most of the things that happen in these practices happen for a reason. So, you know, don't always just take the numbers at face value. Look for the nuance, look for the context. And most of all, don't freak out if a guy has a good practice or a bad practice. Just, you have to look at the totality of the entire training camp. You have to hope that the arc is moving forward, that things are getting better, that the Giants are ready to play week one. And most of all, hope that the Giants are healthy. One of the great things that is happening here in this training camp is that Kadarius Toney is practicing every day. Kenny Golladay is practicing every day. A lot of guys, John Feliciano has missed a couple of practices, but you know, with some heat-related issues. Sterling Shepard isn't back yet, but Toney, Golladay, Barkley, Daniel Bellinger, most of the offensive line, you know, most of the key Giants are practicing every single day. And that is something that didn't happen a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. We've seen Giants on the sideline, Giants riding the bike, so many Giants being held back and not really getting a chance to prepare, not really getting the reps needed, you know, before the beginning of the regular season. And for me, the best thing that's happened so far is that almost all of your key Giants are on the practice field every single day thus far. And that, as I said, is an absolutely terrific sign. All right, Giants fans, I promised you an interview with Wandale Robinson, so let's get to that right now.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, right from the start of rookie camp, it looked like you were getting an awful lot of attention from the coaching staff. It still looks that way. You like it that way? You take that as a positive?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they really just wanted me to do everything that I can to help our offense. And each and every day, I'm just trying to prove that I can handle and understand everything that they're putting on my plate. So I'm just trying to do the best that I can each and every day and just get better.
You saw, and I'm sure you were at least made aware of some of the questionable reaction, you know, maybe when the Giants took you 43rd overall. Do you have any reaction to that, or how did you feel about about people questioning maybe the Giants taking you that early?
That's for everybody else to have their own opinion. I didn't want to look at it too much at the end of the day. They brought me here to do a job and help our football team and help this offense. So I just want to continue just to come out each and every day and just do what I'm supposed to do. And I don't want to get caught up in what the fans thought of the pick or anything like that. So I'm just going to go out here and just do my job.
You know, you've along that same line, and I don't want to keep going back to it, but just let me ask you this one more question along that line. You've been doubted every step of the way, you know, because of your size, because you're a small guy. Have you gotten used to it? Do you care? Do you hear it? Do you use it as motivation? What do you think of all of that?
It hasn't really fazed me at all. I've been like this since I was 5 years old, so it's been nothing new to me, and I'm just going to continue just go out there and work and just do everything that I can do just to be myself and be the best football player I can be.
Hey, I had told you, you know, that I talked to your dad, I talked to Coach Vaughn, I talked to Coach Morrow at Kentucky. So I'm familiar with your dad's story, and the only thing that I want to ask you, you know, in regards to your dad's story is how did it shape you as a person? Maybe how did it shape you as a player?
As a person, I just got to really see the bad side of the path that I could go down and really just see the mistakes that my dad made. And it just allowed me to not make those mistakes as I was going through my life and growing up and just thinking about those decisions that he made. And if anything like that would be around me, then I would have to make a different decision. And then just on the football field, I mean, we've always been the same with just everything that he's always told me, my mindset and all, everything like that hasn't changed since I was five, and he understood that it'd be so.
Tell me about the Wanda Joyce Robinson Foundation that you and your dad run.
It helps kids that have parents that were or still are incarcerated. Really just showing kids similar to me and my older brother and then my little sister just, that there's a way that you can make it out and you don't have to go down the same path as your parents and make the same mistakes and just show that there's other outlets that being able to do different things, if that's sports, art, music, whatever it may be, just showing kids that you can do whatever they want to do and feel like they're wanted and feel accomplished.
And Wanda Joyce Robinson is your grandmother, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So just is the name of that foundation significant for you as well as the work that you guys do?
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. So I never actually got to meet my grandmother. That's who I'm named after, the Wanda and Dale. That's my grandmother's name, my dad's name, and they combined it. So, but just knowing how she was and all the stories that I've ever heard about her, she was just always a giving, loving person. So it was just right to name the foundation after her.
Cool. Hey, you know, speaking about your dad, when I talked to your dad in the spring, he said that, you know, one of his football related messages to you was, you know, no matter who you're playing against, you have to know that you're the best player on the field. That might be a little easier in high school or in college than it is, you know, as a rookie in the NFL. Just tell me about trying to carry that attitude, you know, into your first NFL training camp.
I mean, it's not really a cockiness thing of feeling that I'm the best. It's just kind of a mindset and just really feeling like that I can go out there and dominate each and every play. And that's something that hasn't changed with me at all. It's not really, like I said, not trying to be cocky or anything. It's just a mindset that I feel like you have to have, especially smaller guys like me, and just feeling like that you're the best just to go out there and compete. And compete at your highest level. So
I'm gonna throw a name at you, and I'm not 100% sure you're gonna recognize it, but I'm curious if the name Daquan Edwards means anything to you.
Yeah, that was my name when I was five.
Yeah, so let me tell the story real quick. Your dad apparently had signed you up to play football, and he didn't want you to play flag. He didn't want you to play touch or whatever it was at the age of five. So he signed you up under the name Daquan Edwards. Tell me what you learned from being Daquan Edwards for a year.
I don't remember a whole lot about the year, but that was my first year playing football. And, I would really say that's just kind of where my toughness and everything started from, just being the youngest one out there on the field and going out there and being hit by older guys. And even whenever we're going up to play the older team, I'm playing against guys that are really like four years older than me. So it was a good thing. I think it was a good thing for me. I don't think I'd be the way I am now without that kind of experience right there when I started early. So right from
the beginning, you've been, you know, you've been smaller and younger and having to prove yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So I also talked to Chris Vaughn, who you trained with at a facility in Kentucky. Yeah. And he told me that after the very first day that you went there, that you had a really rough day and he didn't think you were going to come back. Just tell me if you remember that day and remember why you actually went back.
Yeah, I mean, so Chris, I mean, he has that gym is full with guys that are going to Division I schools and things like that, especially whenever I really started going up there. It was really, really popular. But I just remember it was like that my first time just really kind of around like guys that had offers and things like that. But I knew that if I really wanted to do it, then I was going to have to keep going and continue to get better. And I just knew that this was going to only help me get better at the end of the day. And so, Chris, a big part of why I'm here too, was helping me with that toughness thing, just getting my game to the next level.
Hey, and you know, when the Giants drafted you, I might have mentioned this to you the other day. Joe Shane said that he had a very clear vision for how he wanted you to fit into this offense. Are you seeing that vision now? And how do you like the way that this offense, you know, fits your skill set?
I mean, I love it. I think I would be two of the best, Coach Cap and Coach Dable, with calling plays and their minds. So I was just really happy to be involved with those two, and whenever, especially when it came to the offensive system. And I definitely think that they're going to put me in the best position to succeed that I can be. So,
I wasn't out there practice today. I've been there, you know, most days, but. Did I hear that you guys ran a trick play with Kadarius Toney throwing you the ball today?
We did a little something like that.
little fun. We might see Kadarius to Wandale at some point this year, maybe.
Hey, maybe we'll have to wait and see.
I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are on Kadarius Toney. I mean, first round pick a year ago, had kind of an up and down season, but your thoughts on maybe what you can learn from his rookie year and maybe just on what people say about, you know, two guys with similar skill sets playing together.
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you want your playmakers to have the ball in space. And honestly, he showed that he's really, really, really good in space with the ball. And really just each and every day, we're just kind of talking and seeing everything that we're seeing out there with each other. Some of the routes that we're running right now are kind of similar, but obviously in a different place. And so, but he's a really good dude. And everything that he does, I mean, he does it really fast. He's extremely twitchy. But KT's done everything that I feel like he's supposed to do. And just been really good for us right now, too.
Yeah, last thing for you. You played a lot of running back at Nebraska. You played wide receiver at Kentucky. I know you're really a receiver more than a running back, but just curious, you know, how you feel like all of the different things that you did in college, you know, have prepared you to play in an offense like this.
With some of the practices here, I mean, I lined up in the backfield, just going back to that stuff I did in Nebraska, and I'm doing stuff that I did in Kentucky. So that's really like a mixture of everything. So it's been really good just to know that all the stuff that I did in college has really got me prepared for this point. So,
all right, hey, thank you very, very much for a few minutes. I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you got other places to go.
No, you're all good. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Wandale.
All right, Giants fans, I hope that you guys enjoyed that interview with Wandale Robinson. Seems to be a very nice young man. Was very very gracious to get on the phone with me. I enjoyed speaking with him a great deal. Honestly, I think I enjoyed speaking with him a whole lot more than defenders are going to enjoy trying to cover the young man. All right, Giants fans, please, you know, subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter at Big Blue View. Join the community at BigBlueView.com if you haven't done that already. And please follow all of our training camp on our website at BigBlueView.com. All of our training camp coverage, I should say. There is a very easy to follow training camp story stream, which you should be able to find, and you'll be able to follow all of the coverage that we have had since training camp began and everything training camp related that we will publish going forward. So if you missed any of our coverage, you get a chance to scroll through that and catch up. Hopefully you find some interesting features, interesting analysis in there. So as I said, Giants fans, you know, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio if you haven't done that already. And a reminder also that yours truly will be out at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center for Wednesday's practice. So check Wednesday afternoon on our website for my report, my takeaways from what we see during practice on Wednesday. Giants fans, as always, please remember to stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.